What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Now that I know I deserve more, I'm busy loving myself, putting me first. Made up my mind, I'm on my grind. My time to shine, you hit my line. I press decline, no time for that. I'm moving forward and right now. You're in my past, I've come too far to turn back now. Not going back, I see that everybody's sleeping on me. They really gotta see it to believe.
So what's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of I Love Me More, period. So since we've been healing on this journey, haven't we?
Absolutely. It's been an amazing journey. We've had some great guests. It's been life-changing for me, sitting, listening to these stories and people's journeys. I'm motivated. I'm able to look at myself and just make these changes. I love it.
Me too. And for me, going through a rough situation like I did, with my close to decade-plus sentence behind bars, I wish I had the manual. I wish I had the tools, because it would have took me that much shorter time to heal. So guys, what we loving about this thing is that the information that we found out by sharing is that there are common patterns. Mm-hmm. There are common situations that actually have solutions, right? Trauma is not something that you have to feel and just live with the heavy burden of it on your back forever. There's ways you can heal, and we got the ways. Is that right, sis?
We definitely have the ways. And that leads me to our another project that we are doing together.
Correct. So we have our book, guys, mm-hmm. right? So we are continuously doing projects, but we have our book, I Love Me More, period, The 8 Steps to Breaking Free from Toxic Relationships. And this book is not a regular book. Baby, our book is interactive. It's got pictures, okay? It's got journaling areas where you can actually stop, you know, and really do the work. Because I can talk you to death all day, but until you do the introspective work, until you do the deep dive and really, really, really get to the place that's shifting your mind, your heart, and then your spirit, you're going to stay in the same place.
Right.
So our tools are really, really dope. Don't you think so, sis?
I think our tools are amazing. And look, not just doing the work, but also being able to identify with people who are going through something, so you know that you're not the only person.
You're not
standing alone. Like, everyone at some point has to do the work if they want to progress.
That's a real thing. And not only just doing the work and learning from other people, you just really have a partner on this journey. So not only do we have a book that goes with a course so you can actually watch the materials come to life, we also have a community so you can be with us as we all heal in our journey to share and learn from each other. It's just so much that we can learn together.
Absolutely.
So our community is www.blackwomenslivesmatter.com. Join today, share with us, heal with us, transform with us, because we leveling up, y'all. You know, because talking about it takes the weight off your shoulder, doesn't it?
It takes the weight off your shoulder, but it also, you know, puts you in the forefront. You know, I think one of the episodes I talked about, you know, even imposter syndrome, how when you go through something, it could put you in a space where you don't feel like you're able to talk about it. But you don't have to be the expert on it. You could have gone through something, gotten over it, and then share your journey.
It's a real thing, you know, and healing is a process. And I'm not here to tell you that I'm perfect because I'm far from that. But I'm okay, baby, right? Because I got my tools. I got my toolkit. So when I go through things, I know what to do. I know what perspective to have because I know God is good regardless, right? And there's something good that can come out of any situation, including tragedy, which brings me to my next point. Baby, today, our special guest, she done been through something. She's been through some pain that most people, I mean, may not have stood tall through, but she has turned her pain into power, and she's doing amazing, amazing things. So wait till you hear our next guest. Oh, I don't even want to blow it all the way up for you, but stay tuned. Right now, we got to pay the bills. So take a listen to this word from our sponsor. Hello, friends. It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I have a special announcement. We are finally opening up the Black Women's Lives Matter community. So what does that mean in real time? We can fellowship with you. We have this platform that we're giving to you for absolutely free. And it's a place where you can learn from other Black women just like you. And we're going to be learning real things, speaking to experts about finances, relationships, fashion, makeup, parenting, you name it, we got it in the community. It's a place that we can fellowship and also heal. We're also going to be having therapy in the community. There's a lot of things that we need to talk about to get off our chest, you know, and we're going to do it in a safe place where we can learn from experts about how to maximize our potential and become the best us that we can possibly be. So what does this mean? It's time to click the link in our bio and join today. It is absolutely free. It costs you nothing. And it will grow you so much, I promise you. So meet me in the community. You get to actually work with me this year. I'm going to be doing some one-on-ones. I'm going to be doing some group work. And it's all about leveling up. Meet me in the community. I'll see you soon. And y'all already know what it is. It's going down.
Guys, welcome back to I Love Me More, period, podcast. Yes. And we have a very special guest. Jamila, would you like to introduce our guest?
Oh, man, it would be my honor. This woman right here, she is a survivor. She's a warrior. She's an author, and she's doing some amazing things. So give it up for now, my friend and colleague in this work as well, Miss Kimberly Hill.
Welcome to I Love Me More, Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell us your story, a little bit about your life growing up. Take us back before we go forward.
Okay. So my name is Kim, as you said. I'm the mother of 8-year-old Deshaun Hill, who was a victim of gun violence. He got shot and killed in 2003 in front of my building in Brooklyn, New York. But that's not where my trauma began. My trauma began early on. I'm the product of two drug addicts. My mom was a heroin addict. My dad was a heroin addict. My mom was very abusive growing up, physically abusive, mentally, emotionally. My dad was absent. He wasn't there. So in our eyes, he was the hero because he wasn't there. So he wasn't the one handing out the beatings and being evil to us. So, you know, he kind of got the easy way out. You know, just seeing all of that trauma with my mom and going through all of that led me into a life of abusive relationships and, you know, just going through it. I've done a lot of things I'm not proud of, had kids very early and, you know, trying to parent them through my trauma. I made a lot of mistakes with my kids. I'm trying to rectify them now and, you know, be the best I can. I've gone through therapy and stuff like that, just on a healing journey that I've been on for a long time.
Let's go back first. So, because this is really, really good for our viewers because it talks about your trauma starting in the household.
Yes.
Right? So we don't generally just get into abusive relationships. We grow into them.
Yes.
Right? Living in toxic environments.
Yes.
Right? where we then replicate the lifestyle. So just tell me a little bit about that, because that also might have been generational trauma.
It was very generational.
So finding out, do you know what made your mother so mad or angry? Did she ever share?
Yes.
Like where her anger and all of this came from?
Well, I found out, it was after she passed away that I found out about her history. So my mom came from, you know, she's Puerto Rican. She came from a Puerto Rican household, and her parents, her dad was sexually abusing her. Her mom was physically abusing her. So that's where all of her pain came from. And it wasn't until, you know, after she passed away and I learned all these things that I started to understand her better, because me and her had a horrible relationship. So it was like after that, that I learned to give her more grace and think of her more kindly, because we had such a bad relationship because I was blaming her for everything that she put us through. Mm-hmm. So she, at first, when I was younger, she wasn't on drugs. My dad was on drugs first. And then, like years later, she got raped. So she ended up getting on drugs.
So let's just go back a little bit, mm-hmm. right? Because this is an important place to go, because you said that you didn't find out about her trauma until after she was dead.
Right.
So wouldn't it have been so much better just to know ahead of time?
It would
and
have
think
been.
About how many of our viewers are yes. in that same situation. Yes. They have problematic relationships and don't understand where the person's anger is coming from.
Yes.
A person doesn't just be born angry generally,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's something that happened to her.
Yes.
And once she was violated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she got violated again. Then you said even the second violation led to drugs,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So it's like you telling us and sharing also helps our viewers to break down some of these cycles and patterns
yes.
of things. And maybe if she got healing for her trauma,
yes.
she wouldn't have push that on you.
Absolutely. And it's like her trauma led into, you know, her doing what she did to us. And on top of that, you know, she was in abusive relationships. So all around me, this is what love was. You know what I'm saying? Like the person that's supposed to love me most beats on me and calls me a bitch and treats me really messed up. So it's like, this is what my idea of love was. And then like her being in abusive relationships, and when I ask her, you know, like, why are they hitting you? She tells me, oh, because they love me. This is what, as a kid, was instilled in me. Like, love is abuse. Like, if he's not hitting you and if he's not beating up on you and yelling at you and cursing at you and calling you names, then he don't love you. Wow. So I went into my adult life thinking this is what I was looking for. Like, if they wasn't beating on me or if they wasn't treating me really messed up, then they didn't really love me. Because the people who were put in place to love me, this is how they treated me. And then this is what I saw in my house. So it was that was my toxic belief, that I had to be in a toxic relationship and that this is the way relationships was and this is the way that love is. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that's what I believe.
You endure going through that?
It was rough. I've been in situations where I've had guns pulled out on me. I've had walked around like every week with black eyes, and it was bad. And it was my son, the one who got killed, because this was way before I had my other children. I only had him at the time. But it was him that seen all of this. And he's the one who gave me the strength to get through this stuff. And that's why it's so, like when I lost him, I lost a big part of me, because that was my rock. He got me through everything. He was the reason for me to try to do better.
Wow.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
So talked about it, let's talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because now we talked about trauma and some of the areas and ways that you had to endure, but now enduring with grief and just understanding, knowing that you lost a child at such an early age is something. Would you share with our viewers a little bit more about what happened?
Well, I have four kids. Deshaun is not the first one that I lost. He's the second child that I lost. I had a child when I was 17. She died when she was 2. So then I had him, and that's when I was going through all of the abusive relationships and stuff like that. And then I got into a decent relationship with my daughter's father, and we got married, and everything was kind of calm at that point. We were just living our lives. I was working. He was going to school. We had a plan. I was like, you know, I'll work, you go to school. And then when you finish school, I'll go to school and you can work. So we had a plan. Kids was good. So I was working. He usually was home in time to pick up the kids. So he went to pick up my two sons, who were not his, but he was a great dad to them. And then they went to pick up my daughter. And then on the way home, they were stopped at the grocery store or whatever. They were walking home. Some guys on the block were arguing over drugs and started shooting at each other. So my kids unknowingly, you know, not knowing that they're getting ready to start shooting, is running down the street. And Daddy's like, let's play last one to the building is a rotten egg. So he got the lead on them and he's running and the other guys are running backwards because one of the guys had got shot already. So he's running backwards, shooting back, and Deshaun gets hit. So my husband at the time gets the two little, he saw Deshaun fall and he thought Deshaun was ducking. So he grabs the two little ones and runs them in the building and Deshaun starts yelling, I've been shot, I've been shot. So he comes back and gets him and brings him into the building. And then that's when, you know, he was in the hallway and he died right there on the spot. And then I get the call that, yeah, that he's gotten shot. And
what does that next day look like? That before we can even get to healing, like how do you?
It was horrible. My thing was like the worst part of it that night for me, I was kind of in a fog, but then I had my son and my daughter, who was 5 and 3 at the time, that just witnessed their brother getting killed in front of them. They got caught in a hail of gunfire. And my thing was, how am I going to break it to them that their brother's not coming home? And they were at a neighbor's house, and then they came back. And the first thing my daughter says to me is Dede coming home after he gets his hand fixed? Because she thought he only got shot in the hand. And I'm like, what am I supposed to tell them? Like, how do I explain to a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old that their brother's dead, that this is done? Like, he's not coming home. So that day, that was the hardest thing for me to deal with. I'm a natural caretaker. I take care of everybody. So, like, throughout the whole thing, I wasn't worried about me. I was worried about my mom relapsing. She had just got clean. I was worried about, you know, my husband and how he was going to deal with it and the two kids, how was they going to deal with it? So I kind of did what I do. I take everything, I put it in a little box and I let it stay there until everybody else is good. So that's what I did.
And that's what this podcast is all about. You know, many of us have put everyone else before ourselves because as women, we feel like we're supposed to protect and, you know, nurture the nurturers and make sure everybody is together. So we often put spouses before us. We often put kids before us. We often put circumstances before us. And then sometimes there's no more of us left.
That's right.
The podcast is I Love Me More. So I want to know more about your healing journey because what you just described is the unthinkable. And that's why I asked you the ages of your kids, because I knew you had a kid around that same age. No. And most people couldn't even fathom imagining or dealing with the pain that you dealt with. So I just want to learn from you, sis. Right. You're so resilient.
Right.
How did you heal? And what does grieving look like? How does a person go through this and stand and look like how you look today?
Well, grieving can be anything. Your grieving can be just taking a minute just to sit in it and cry and get it out. I didn't start my healing process for a long time. I was just walking around a shell, taking care of the kids, just going routine, doing different things that I'm supposed to be doing, working. And 3 months after Deshaun got killed, I got diagnosed with cervical cancer. So then I had to deal with that. I mean, it's been a couple of times where I'm just like, you know what, God? Whatever you want to do, just do it because I'm done. Like, I can't take this no more. It's too much. I did. When I got that diagnosis of cancer, I was like, yeah, okay. Like, you're funny. Like, you just really, really don't like me. Mm-hmm. So it's like I was dealing with all of that and I just was a shell. I was just walking through life just taking care of the kids.
Because you just made me think about something, right? Because I know when I was in prison and I got sentenced to all that time, for a minute, I questioned God, and I'm like, do you love me, right? Mm-hmm. So now you got two kids that passed away. How did your first kid?
She had seizures, and she had one in her sleep. I was young. This was the first time I left her. I left her with my best friend's niece. We went out that night. I came back. She wasn't breathing. The first time I left her, she was with me everywhere I went. This was the first time I left her, came back, she wasn't breathing. So I had to deal with it. And I was 19 at the time. Oh, yeah. I live with regret to this day about that. And I'm, you know, sometimes like when I'm talking to God, because I'm very spiritual, mm-hmm. and I'm like, God, okay, I get the first one. I wasn't a great mom. I wasn't equipped to have a kid. I didn't have anything for her. I'm like, but I don't understand the second one. Like, why did that one happen? So, and yeah, a lot of times.
After that, all of that you've been through, the abuse with your mom, the bad relationships and abuse, the loss of two kids, and now the diagnosis. So that's just hit after hit after hit mm-hmm. after hit after yes. hit, right? And those hits were sent to take you out yeah. from the enemy, right? Yes. To spiritually take you out yes. the game, but yes. you stood.
Yes.
So I kind of want to get into mindset around what made you keep going after the mm-hmm. fifth goal, like now cervical cancer?
I was in survival mode. Like literally when I got the diagnosis of cervical cancer, I told the doctor I didn't want treatment. I was like, that's it. If this is my time and it's meant for me to go right now, I'm just going. I said, I don't want treatment. So she tried to plead with me and I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't want treatment. So, and I was 28 at the time.
Wow.
So then I get home. It's my kids that kept me alive. It's my kids that gave me the strength to go on and do what I needed to do. I came home and I looked at these babies and I'm like, who's going to take care of them? So I called the doctor back, got the surgery, did what I had to do. But for a long time, I did my way of dealing with it was not dealing with it. I went to did all the marches and I did all the advocating against gun violence and went to the school and did what I had to do when I had to do it. It wasn't until about 2015 that I started really healing and started going to therapy and stuff like that. So that was awesome. I love my therapist. My therapist is the best. Like she. No nonsense. When I'm talking mess and I'm like ready to give up, she puts me back in my place and she gives me the tools to get through things and the tools to love myself and to, you know, do better by me.
I mean, it seems like it's this again, up until this very moment, it's just been about someone else, mm-hmm. the whole conversation. You did this for someone else, this, mm-hmm. this, that for someone else. Can you speak a little bit more specifically about what does it look like when you start trying to put you first, considering yourself?
Mm-hmm. So with my when I started therapy, me and I had another husband who was also abusive. Mm-hmm. When he left, I was like tired of it. I was tired of myself. That's what I was tired of. I was tired of making the same mistakes and going through the same thing over and over and over again. I was tired of not loving myself and not feeling the way that I should about myself. So when I started therapy, she used to give me like little homework assignments and stuff to try to build up my esteem because I had none. It wasn't low self-esteem. It was no self-esteem. So like gradually, I made a point not to date. For 5 years, I didn't date after I got divorced from my husband. I just wanted to focus on me. I wanted to learn what I liked, what I needed, and I wanted to love me better. So, and I realized that when I wasn't loving me, I wasn't able to love my kids properly. I wasn't able to love a man properly. I wasn't able to do anything that I needed to do because I didn't love me. So I had to get all of that in order. So that's where I started with my therapist and doing the homework and just like every day trying to build myself up. And I do a lot of self-talk. You know, people think it's crazy to talk to yourself, but I talk to myself all the time. I tell myself, you're beautiful. Like, even when I start to feel like I'm not pretty, I look at my parents who I think my mother was beautiful and my dad is a good looking man. I'm like, how can I think that I'm not beautiful if I come from them? Mm-hmm. So I just talk to myself. I'm like, you're worthy. You're worthy of everything that everybody else has. Like, I used to get really intimidated when it was people around that had degrees and, you know, people around that was well spoken. I'm like, I'm just this little ghetto chick that don't have anything. But like now I tell myself, like, you're worthy of being in these spaces. You're worthy of talking to these people. So I just do a lot of self-talk and a lot of building myself up, because if nobody else is going to do it, I have to do it. And if people don't see that shining through you, they're not going to do that for you.
That's so real. And yeah, that's what we teach. Yeah. So it's so funny that you're talking about points from the book in the course, right? So loving yourself more starts with affirmations, yeah, right? speaking to yourself, you got to be, we teach folks to be their own best friend, their own coach, their own cheerleader. So you never have to wait for anybody else to do for you what you can in fact do to yourself. Yes. And you're actually living proof that what we're saying works, because watching you get all of this, you know what I mean? Yes. And the fact that you was courageous enough to go to a therapist. I go to therapy. Oh, therapy has been one of the best things for me.
Yes.
But what would you say to somebody who doesn't want to go because they think you got to be crazy or
to go to a therapist? Well, I tell people all the time, anytime somebody's having issues, I'm like, yeah, you need to see a therapist. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just having somebody that's not associated to you listen to you and give you the tools that you need. I'm actually studying to be a therapist, but I'm in school now, so I'm on the way to get my bachelor's, and I got to get my master's, and
we'll be definitely cheering,
because I want to help other women and other, you know, teenagers that's in situations like I was in, just to be them their best selves, so that they can be better parents and stuff like that. So that's why I went to school for that, for psychology, and I'm trying to, you know, get my stuff together so that I can help people.
Wow. So I know your story because we recently did a project we can talk about, but in my teachings, I teach people that pain leads us to purpose. And ultimately hearing, and we're going to talk about the second part about what happened to your life, and now you being a therapist, is all in line with God's plan.
It is.
So guys, when y'all feel pain, definitely, don't run from it.
Yes.
Because pain is often leading us to something.
Yes.
It's taking us to higher heights. I say for every adversity, there's an equal reward. I want to say that again for somebody that didn't hear me. For every adversity, there's an equal reward. Your pain is not in vain. And speaking of pain not being in vain, what we did talk about is that you are now the author of this new book.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about Day Day Gains His Wings.
Okay, so this is a book about my son. It's basically touching on his last day with us, the day that we had. And then it leads into, you know, him getting shot and dying. It's a real gentle book for kids. And at the hospital, When I was going through it at my worst point, Brother Mitchell from an organization called Man Up that was founded because of my son's death, he walks into the hospital. Well, he was there before I got there, and he walks up to me and introduces himself and stuff. And at that moment, I didn't expect for it to turn into anything, because it was a lot of people there and a lot of people was introducing themselves. But Brother Mitchell has been by my side for the last 20 years. Like, he's been great. So afterwards, he and I did a lot of different engagements, because he used to take me with him to funerals for other kids that were killed and stuff like that. And we used to just talk all the time. And he was talking about, you know, his ideas for Man Up and stuff like that. And he started the organization, but I helped him out with a lot of stuff. And the organization is running strong today and doing so many great things in the community. I'm very proud of it, you know, because it was started because of my son's death. But it makes me feel like my son's death had a purpose, because I'm the type of person, I used to get in trouble for it when I was little. I ask a lot of questions. I need to know why things happen the way that they happen. So Deshaun got shot. What the news was saying was over a $10 bag of weed. I couldn't accept that. It was no way that it made sense to me that my son was gone over a $10 bag of weed. That didn't make sense to me. So as the organization started doing more things and everything started, you know, they started helping more people, I realized that's the purpose. That's the purpose for Day Day not being here. That Day Day's purpose was bigger in death than it was in life. So that's what gives me peace about the whole thing.
So what I love about this book, guys, that, you know, I've had a privilege to take a part in, is just the fact that, first of all, with you writing the book, I got to understand, I work with Man Up. Man Up is an organization now that's a national model.
Yes.
So out of her son's death, this organization was birthed that helps to save thousands of lives from gun violence, because now they have violence interrupters and programs, and now they have a $13 million community center that we was at just yesterday together. And she's reading the book to kids, and they're reading, and they're standing up, because conversations about gun violence is not something that they have. But now they're able to sit with the chancellor, right? Because Chancellor read
the book, yes.
To the kids. And there's hundreds of kids in this room. And we watching them. We say, who got anything out of this book? And they're lining up. And little girl said, I just lost my sister.
Yeah.
But today I realized that my sister's life still has meaning, mm-hmm. even though she's dead.
Yeah.
Right? So your story, your pain, your heartache, yeah. right? Now it's teaching the kids that they can understand what's going on and understand that even out of darkness, light can come.
Yes.
So just like the little kids know, we want those of you out there that are watching this to understand, I understand, or we understand, mm-hmm. pain is a real thing.
Yes.
But if you keep going, if you keep striving, if you keep looking for it, right? Something good can come out of a crazy situation.
Yes.
So speaking of great things, we got another special guest in the building, right? To go back to that point, out of pain comes purpose, right? So y'all stay tuned with us. We got to pay some bills. Take a listen to our sponsor. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis, and I got a special offer for you, right? It's my gift from me to you. You want to level up? You want to manifest the life of your dreams? Well, I'm going to give you a piece of the plan, right? It starts with my Manifested Now vision plan. So follow me. It's actually the template that I use each and every year to get into my goals, my dreams. And unlike a vision board, I actually put this document on paper with goals and dreams and plans of who I want to be and what I want to become. And now you could do it too. It's time to level up, y'all. It's time to be the best you that you can possibly be. And I'm going to give you the plan. And best of all, I'm going to give it to you for free. Click the link right here. Download today and level up. Make sure you share the results with me. This is the exact plan that I've been doing for the last 4 years. And each and every year is taking me higher and higher. And I pray it does the same for you. Hey, ladies, it's your girl, Dr. Jamila T. Davis here, and I got something truly transformative to share with you today. As Black women, we know the struggle with hormonal imbalances all too well. Whether it's dealing with PMS or navigating the changes of menopause, let me tell you, finding hormone harmony was a game changer for me, and I'm excited to share why. Hormone harmony isn't just another supplement. It's a phenomenon, y'all. Picture this. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Yeah, you heard right. This stuff is flying off the shelf because it's changing lives. When it comes to our health, quality matters. Happy Mammoth, the company behind Hormone Harmony, is all about making women's lives easier. They use science-backed ingredients that actually work. No compromises, just results. So let's talk about adaptogens. That's the secret sauce in Hormone Harmony. These herbal extracts help our bodies adapt to stressors like hormonal changes, making them perfect for any woman experiencing imbalances. From hot flashes to low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back, sis. But here's the real kicker. Feeling like yourself again. That's what women are saying in over 17,000 reviews of Hormone Harmony. And let me tell you, it's true. I'm finally feeling like me again, and it was worth every single penny. Now, here's the deal. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. So you know what to do, sis. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your bottle. Trust me. You'll thank me later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Welcome back. So we have another special guest in the building that we would like you to meet. Could you introduce yourself to our viewers?
Hi, my name is Kalia. I am Kimberly's daughter, Deshaun's little sister. Currently, I'm in law school
right now.
Yes, right? So you said a whole lot. You're in law school right now. So take us back first, because you was there the day that your brother was killed. So how was that? Do you even remember that circumstance or situation?
So I remember bits and pieces. I remember my father pushing us to the ground. We were behind a car. I remember being in our neighbor's house, kind of like crying and everything. Then I remember going to my uncle's house and just, you know, going back and forth to different people's houses that night. And then after that, I don't remember much.
Did you feel pain from the situation? Like, or still trauma from that?
I guess past that, like maybe up until high school, I didn't really get the chance to grieve because like my mom, she made everything feel like it was all right. So I didn't think anything was wrong up until like I was alone. So I had to kind of feel those things. And that's when I started my grieving process. So throughout high school and then up until undergrad, that's when it started getting really bad. I started thinking about all the effects of that night. Like, I didn't just lose Dede. I lost my brother TJ. He went through a lot over those years. I lost my relationship with my father because he went through so much. He's still going through things based off that night. So our relationship is kind of in a rocky place just from 20 years of going through that stuff. So
one day basically rocked your world, but you didn't really understand it at the time. Yeah. So as things are happening, it's making it clear the impact that the pain has.
Yeah.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Exactly.
And then your dad, oh my goodness. I could just imagine that for a parent who's there with his kids at the time.
Yeah.
And then for him to lose, you know what I'm saying? His son, that had to be very, very, very traumatic.
Yeah. And I just recently talked to Brother Mitchell and he kind of put a lot of things in perspective on why our relationship is probably the way that is. And he probably feels like it was his fault. So he took a step back. So he hasn't been, you know, too present for the past, I'm going to say, 15 years or so.
And you know what's so good that you could say that you could look at it from a different perspective? Because most times we blame. And it just goes back to your mom. She didn't really understand your mom until her mom was no longer here, right? So now this is kind of good that you got the opportunity while your dad is here to also help him heal. Because, you know, I think you said too that it was Deshaun's loss that actually turned him to drug abuse.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that lets you know it's not personal.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's hurting. He's dealing with that trauma and he doesn't know how to deal. So it'll be interesting to see how you're able to maybe help him come around, because if you don't forgive yourself, y'all, you stay trapped. And he's probably somewhere still trying to figure out if he would have did something else on a different day. And now we understand it was pain. This was, you know, even though it, you know, happened, God had a plan. It was a reason for everything. You know what I'm saying? So now looking at that and just kind of even seeing your mother and her generational situation that she had, how do you feel like, have you feel like it stopped? Or what do you think that you can do now in here to maybe stop that generational change?
Yeah, so I recently started going to her same therapist, and she's been helping me figure out the grieving situation, because around his birthday and around his death anniversary, it's like a really hard time for us, and we get very depressed. And then I realized that throughout all of my accomplishments, like graduating high school, graduating college, I didn't really want to feel excited or be proud of my accomplishments, because all of those good feelings also came with the feeling of, oh, like my brother isn't here. My father is not coming. Like my surviving brother is in jail. So I found that I wasn't experiencing all those good feelings because I didn't want it to come with the bad feelings. So going through therapy with Dr. Godfrey, is our therapist, she has like told me it's okay to feel multiple things at once. And it's okay to go through those sad things, just make sure that I'm feeling all the good things too. So I think that's helped a lot. And then seeing, I don't want to call you out, but her, the toxic relationships and stuff that I've seen, it's like, it kind of put me on to, this is what I don't want in a relationship. And this is how I know like to avoid those types of things. So
let's talk about that. So you had the experience, did you experience your mother and father's relationship together too? And then the second one, did you feel like that was toxic, or did you have experiences of that, or just the second one?
So with my father, she did a good job hiding it up until we moved. Then I started to see some things for myself. But with the most recent one, her marriage, it was like, I don't know how to explain it. It was just seeing her feel sad and be angry. And, you know, sometimes she would yell at us for, you know, something just because she was frustrated and things like that. So seeing that and seeing how he treated her was really off-putting. So, yeah.
Off-putting. No shit. Off-putting. I'm going to say something. So a little off-putting. Good stuff.
But, you know, it's a really beautiful thing to see the both of you sitting here as a work in progress, healing, you allowing your daughter to see you do the work, which, you know, encourages her to now go and do her own work so that you guys can continuously move forward. And I think it's like you said, you didn't know about your mother. There's so many times we don't know certain things until it's too late. But even just this is also in our book, and that is identifying. Mm-hmm. The fact that you got to a place where you had to look in the mirror and identify you as the problem that needed to be fixed before you could give anybody else anything else, you know, doing that while she can see that is to me is like the start to healing generational curses.
Yes. And I make it a point to be very transparent with my kids. They've seen a lot. They've been around for a lot, but I try really hard to break those curses, because I realized that it is a curse, because my mom's mom also went through abuse and stuff like that, which made her abusive, and it made my mom abusive. And I was on that path to becoming abusive. So I looked at it and I'm like, it has to stop. Like, I can't keep doing this and keep allowing this to keep on manifesting in my family and in my life. Like, I want better for my kids than what I had. So that's why I try to be very transparent with them. And I'm not one of those parents that's not scared, that's scared to say I'm sorry. I say I'm sorry to my kids all the time. I tell them all the time, like, I'm human. I make mistakes. I know I messed up. I know y'all seen a lot of things y'all shouldn't have seen. And I'm sorry for that. You know, I'm sorry for whatever I contributed to make you the way that you are, to make you feel the way that you feel, and let's work from there. You know, she calls me out all the time on different stuff. Oh, see, you're gaslighting me and you're doing this. Yeah, she calls me out. She calls me out all the time. But, you know, I may in the moment get mad at her for it, but I welcome it also because I learn a lot from her. She is my accountability partner. Yes.
So
like she'll never hesitate to say, oh, I don't like your energy right now. I'll come back and talk to you when you're not angry.
I know that's right.
She walks off. And, you know, whereas we grew up in a time where that would have been disrespectful, you know, back in those days, our parents was like, you couldn't say nothing unless you were spoken to. And, you know, when we give you the look, you got to leave the room. But I kind of give them the leeway to express themselves. And well, she's not going to have it no other way, so I can't give her anything. She's going to say what she's going to say, and, you know, she does it in a way that's not disrespectful, but she says what she says. Even to the point where if she feels like she's going to come off in a bad way, she'll text me. She's like, this is what I was trying to say, and this is what I was trying to get through to you. And
that's the lawyer. You're an interesting person, and you're a healer, and so are you. So this is what we talk about, how power comes out of pain, right? Mm-hmm. You're a healer because now you've been utilizing your story, your platform, Deshaun's story, to help other people heal. You're a healer because you've been helping her to heal.
Yes.
Right? So tell me what she told you about that last relationship you was in.
Oh, yeah. Well, my ex-husband, he had a thing where he would walk out. Like, he left maybe 7-8 times throughout the relationship. And I would always take him back because I'm like, okay, he's going to change this time. And, you know, being delusional and thinking I can fix everybody. I'm like, yeah, he's going to do better, this, this, and that. So she just got tired of it. She was 16 at the time. And she's like, Ma, she said, you can't keep putting me through all of this. I'm not going to keep on going through this in your relationship. She said, if you take him back this time, I'm going to move with my aunt. She said, I still love you, but I'm not going to keep going through this. And I had to choose her. My mom never chose me.
Wow,
my mom never chose me. So I had to choose her.
Wow.
And I just stuck to it and I didn't take him back. And to this day, we're not together. We got divorced and everything.
Wow.
Everything was started looking up from there.
So you identified a toxic relationship because you know this podcast is all about toxicity, right?
Yeah.
So you identified a toxic relationship and you said, Mommy, I don't want any part of it. By you putting your foot down, you actually became the healer, right? And you actually helped your mother to heal. So now you're saving lives. And tell me, why did you choose law school? What made you go to law school?
So originally, why I went to Xavier University is because I wanted to be a trauma surgeon to help heal gun patients and things like that. But I realized I didn't like biology. And Amanda Seals came and talked to us. And she was talking about using our experiences to help heal the world. So I thought about how I could use my experience, and then I changed my major to political science. And so eventually, like, because I told you in undergrad, I started feeling my grief more. So I realized I had to do some forgiving. And in order to forgive the people who killed my brother, I had to understand why they did what they did. So I did some research on mass incarceration and recidivism. And I found that a lot of it's a cyclical thing. And it starts in our school systems, and it starts with juveniles not getting proper legal representation and being put in the system. And then after that, they go to the streets or where they feel safe with their gang members and stuff like that. And they do things like kill and, you know, accidentally shoot young children. So from there, I was like, the way that I feel like I can help is by giving them proper legal representation. So eventually, like once I graduate law school and pass the bar, I want to be a juvenile public defender for maybe 1 or 2 years. And then I want to start my own nonprofit, which provides legal representation to underprivileged communities, not only juveniles, but every aspect. So I guess it can fall under civil rights because I also want to do like environmental stuff too and mental health and things like that.
Wow. I am blown away. Are you blown away by
that?
Yeah.
And as I'm sitting here, for me, it's confirmation through my spirit that God had a plan.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Let's just take this back a minute, right? So you're talking about generational curses. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about 3 generations because we're not even just talking about your mother. We're actually talking about 4. It would have been 4, but she put her foot down.
Yeah.
So boom, we got 3 generations of abuse and trauma.
Yes.
And crazy stuff. We got a history of drug abuse, mm-hmm, coming from the left, the right, the side, and the back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost like Deshaun was the sacrificial lamb,
yeah,
that looked like it break your family, but it was actually the thing that was mending you all back together again.
Yes.
And now we have you healing and getting going to school, working. I think you told me 3 jobs now,
yes,
right? But she's not going to be doing that for long because what we buying you? We supporting her and Day Day and the journey that she's taking. But even more than that, you're still going back to working 3 jobs, going back to school to be a therapist because you stood up and decided to get therapy. And not only did you get therapy, you convinced your daughter to get it because you felt like she needed to heal as well. So through therapy, you're raising now someone who's vocal, yeah, and learning, like we said in the book, there's different communication styles. There's passive, there's aggressive, and then there's assertive. So we talk about Tara in that book, that assertive, you're assertive. So assertive is a person who just speaks up and says their truth, but they don't say it in a disrespectful manner,
right,
but they don't let people walk all over,
yes,
them. So I don't even know if you know, you got all the little steps going, mm-hmm, and then more importantly, you've actually tapped into, I don't even know a kid your age that's found purpose,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Purpose in you because of the pain. The pain immediately led to what?
Purpose.
And it was for, mm-hmm, me the same thing as when I was incarcerated and I went through that pain. It put me on the track to purpose.
Right.
So let me tell you about purpose. Purpose is freedom. Mm-hmm. right? Because now you're going to be the one that's not to the left. You see the revolving door, the man baby come back, this happened, that. Baby, you about to stop all of that stuff. Because when you on purpose, you know, God and his angels, the heavens, they protect you because you're on what? Purpose. You're on an assignment, right? So when you're doing God's work and you on the assignment, things that used to happen just don't happen. It'll be stuff coming your way. It'll bypass you because you're on purpose. And more importantly, your mental health, when you're on purpose, it makes you feel good, right? Because you're doing the thing that you were born and created to do. So you, I knew you had to be a guest up on this show. I got my eyes on you. Great things ahead.
Seriously, I'm about to start her fan club.
I know that's right. How does that make you feel now, both of y'all, like seeing life full circus and seeing that even your pain had purpose? How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel really proud. It's like coming full circle. Like Day-Day, I know his purpose was to do all of these big things in the community and in the world. And it makes me feel like I'm beaming with pride over her. Like I always have. She potty trained herself. Like she's never needed help with homework. She's always been, like she just got up and went. It's like, she's always been that person. Like she's been so easy to raise. And I'm just like so looking forward to that. That's my prayer every night. Like, God, please let Lily live out the purpose that you have for her and let me be there to see it. I just want to be there to support her through everything that she wants to do. That's why I work three jobs, because I know that she couldn't work and do law school. So whatever I have to do to make it easier for her so that she doesn't have to worry about bills or paying anything, if I have to add another job on, I'm going to do that so that she doesn't have to, because I want her to succeed.
And I love the fact that after so much loss, you get to have that in your eyes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tell you this, because the only thing I'm a little bit scared for you is just the peace with your dad. You know, I just want you to know it wasn't you. Yeah. It wasn't you. And it's okay, right? Yeah. Because sometimes God will give us people and things and he'll just be your dad. Yeah. You know, your mom has been your mom and your dad. I just want you to let that peace go. Mm-hmm. You know, and really maybe even be able to communicate with him, because, again, he's hurting.
Yeah.
He's hurting so bad. And you may be able to help him heal too.
He don't want to do the work. That's the thing. He's one of those that's like, I don't need therapy. And we're like, yeah, you do. And yeah. So, I mean, I give him grace because of what he witnessed and what he dealt with. I get that. He saw our son die in front of him. It was nothing he can do to save him. I give him grace for that. It's a lot of things that he do that I don't respect, but I give him grace because I need grace sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But he needs to get the help that he needs to get, and he needs to realize that. So that's like his main thing.
You know, Hosea 4:6 in the Bible says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge.
You know, they said that at Day-Day's funeral. My brother read that exact verse at Day-Day's funeral.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that just came to me as she was sitting here and I'm talking to you, because what I feel like is though, you know, and it's almost like ignorance is bliss, right? Because he doesn't want to get the tools because of the stigma that comes with the tools, right?
Yeah.
She may actually be the tool.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the Flintstone vitamin people take in. And I'm not saying to you to put yourself in an unhealthy relationship to help somebody else heal. But I'm saying, let this someone grace. Hey, how you doing? You good? Da 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 da. Just sometimes it's parent reversal, right? Because it might be that love that just sparks, hold up, I got something to live for. Because it seems as though he gave up.
Yeah.
And I've already told him, like, everything that we've been through, all of the arguments, I've forgiven him for everything. I told him, anything that you're going to do, I've already forgiven you for it. But you need to put in some work, because I'm not about to have, like, all this drama in my life when it's not necessary.
That's good.
So we have our little space right now, and then when he gets
together. Hold on, so this is good, y'all. Let's go back to the book. That's called a what? A boundary.
Yes.
Okay. So the 19-year-old okay? She's practicing healthy living.
23.
Oh, 23. Why am I getting 19? Where am I getting 19 from? I'm sorry about that. But the 23-year-old has said, I'm protecting myself. So I'm putting a little bit of space in this because this is not healthy for me. So that's also a part of what we teach in Breaking Free, that you got to set healthy boundaries for yourself. Yes, so I'm really definitely proud of you that you're doing.
Thank you. Definitely. Yeah, she's awesome. I don't know who had her, who is she came from.
Where did you get her boundaries from?
I really don't know. So I went through a little spiritual thing in undergrad, and I started, you know, reading some spiritual books and listening to Jay Shetty and listening to different interviews, and I kind of started putting those things into practice, and I read the Four Agreements. So that kind of helped me. That helped me with, I guess that's where the boundaries came from, but everything that I've learned, I've shared with her, and then we kind of practice it together.
Y'all see that? So we learn and we practice, baby.
Yes.
So just for y'all that didn't hear it before, make sure y'all check out ilovememoreperiod.com. It's so many resources there for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure y'all get copies of the book.
Oh, yeah.
Because definitely. What we're doing, and what we've committed to doing, is practicing a healthy relationship lifestyle, and that's intimate partners, mm-hmm. that's work relationships, you know, that's with family, and it seems like y'all working in every area of that. Yeah. So this is going to be good stuff.
We try it. We've been through a lot, and you know, I just feel like God don't put things on you just for you. Like, you have to share your story. You have to get things out there to help other people, because you never know who's hurting and who's going through the same things that you might have gone through. So I always try to, you know, share my story, and talk, if it's a little teenage girl that's going through it or having low self-esteem, I tell them, like, look, it gets better. It's going to be so many other things that you go through in life that you're going to get through. It gets better. So don't give up.
I love it. And guess what? You can give her this one. I'm going to give you this one. Because you guys were guests today, we have a special shirt for you. It's called I Love Me More. Right? We're crossing the U out. Yeah. Period, baby. Right? Yeah. So this is your affirmation when you're going through rough times, when you're experiencing anything. I want you to remind yourself, like how you do that self-talk that you told us about, that I love me more, period. Yeah. So I let nothing, no one, any circumstance stand in the way of me being the best me that I can possibly be.
Yes.
Now, we're going to do like a little bit of fun things that we do here. This is called the I Love Me More Lightning Round. So you guys will have, I'm going to answer your series of questions. You have just a few seconds to answer the questions, but because there are two, there's like six together.
Okay.
So whatever the question is, you both have to answer it separately.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Okay. So three words to describe a toxic relationship.
Gaslighting, lying, cheating.
Pain, selfishness, and can I repeat?
Okay, three verses describe a healthy relationship.
Communication, love, self-care.
Mm. Love it.
I would say understanding, compassion, and kindness.
Yes.
Okay. And a movie that makes you cry.
Ugh. Tarzan, Disney Tarzan.
Yeah.
And there's a reason behind it.
Well, Deshaun, he used to sing the song You'll Be in My Heart. So, like, whenever we hear that song, if it's in a store, we got to walk out.
I was overwhelmed. I just came home from the hospital, had three little ones, and I'm like, I can't even take a shower. So I tell Dede, he's four at the time, I'm like, watch your sister. I put her in her little infant seat and, you know, went to take a shower, and she was crying. So I come out and he's singing that song to her.
Oh, wow.
And that song just like breaks me. Anytime I hear it, I can't watch the movie. And I'm just like, why.
And because you guys are so close, I want to know if you're in a car and you got a gun in the car and you get pulled over by the cops, who you calling?
I'm calling. The first one, Jesus. I'll call my best friend, Yolanda.
Okay.
Who you calling?
I will call her. I don't know what to do.
She said, I'm going to call myself. I'm going to be an attorney soon. Oh, that was awesome. So let's talk about the first three questions, three words to identify toxic relationships. So the one you shared was lying.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you say lying?
I was explaining her ex-husband. I was describing him.
Whoa! Guns fired, talking about the ex-baby. So you were sick of him, huh?
That was the description.
Wow, you say interesting. I'm ready for you to be ready to go. I'm ready for you to be ready to go.
Oh, wow. And you?
Yeah, I guess from past relationships. Yeah, that usually kind of, yeah. But it offsetted me.
What did it do? It was already off-putting. That's more school vocabulary.
It was off-putting.
Oh, thank you guys for participating in the lightning round.
Yes, man. I just see so much growth. And really, you're epitome of the process, right? When people do the work, that the work works.
Yeah,
this right here is a living example that the work works. And she said something.
It does.
People are lazy. They don't want to feel and deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to feel and deal, so you avoid it. And now you're being more toxic, and then you call, it leaks over. Now you're causing trauma to others. Mm-hmm. But when you roll up your sleeves and you get the courage to do the work.
Because the work is hard.
No, it's so funny that you say
and
that.
You heal children, too.
Yeah. I experienced that, not wanting to do the work, just wanting to just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me just take a minute. Like, I'm not ready. I'll deal when I can actually really think about this. But but sometimes things are happening and life is just going. And it's the emotions are so heavy. You just have to compartmentalize. It's like, I just don't have time. Like, I'm a mom. I have to do this. I have to do that. But then when it all slows down and you have to do the work.
Yeah.
You know, not just do the work for other people, but you have to look at yourself and then own your part.
Yes. And that's hard.
But delaying the work is delaying your healing.
It's true.
So it's like, yo, God has a $1 billion prize for you. He wants to give it to you. But you keep delaying the prize because you don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you really think.
Yeah, it, when you do.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you can't. You're not going to be able to get rid of the pain. It's just like she said. It may be able to push it down, but at some point it's going to come up.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to come up at a time that you don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
So you might as well run into your demons, face them, deal with them. And that's what the course in the workbooks, it helps you to identify the places, the spaces of where you had trauma.
Yeah.
It helps you to identify the difference between a healthy and a toxic relationship. It also helps you identify boundaries because the thing that keeps you protected is your boundary.
Yeah,
so the fact that the 23-year-old, I'm gonna get that right, understands the power of boundaries, yo, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. You're one of the most powerful guests that we had to date because you're using the tools, you're doing the work, and you're living proof that even at a young age, the tools work. We ain't create the tools. This is just what it is. It's just real life things that you can use, right? So we want y'all to stay with us. And guys, we want you to support. So tell them where they can find you at on social media.
So on social media, I'm on Instagram. My handle is Kimberly_Hill0129.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook is just Kimberly Hill. And the book can be purchased on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you could get the book, Day Day Gains His Wings. Make sure y'all check that out. It's available and out right now. And where can they follow you at? Because we might need to get you for some legal
My Instagram is at Kalia Chisholm. I also have Facebook, Kalia Chisholm. And I'm also on LinkedIn if y'all have any job opportunities.
Come on, plug yourself. You know that too, right? Close mouth, don't get bad.
That's right.
I love it. Y'all, it was so good having you here. We want to stay with you. We want to support. We want to love on you guys as you walk through this journey. And speaking of support and love, guys, we are a community. We are a family. We've learned through just the obstacles and trials and tribulations that we went through that we don't have to walk alone. Mm-hmm. We can walk together. Is that all right?
Yes.
So join us in our community of healing, a space that you can talk, chat, really let us know what's on your mind. Please, 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 please join our community at blackwomenslivesmatter.com. And it's going down, y'all. So much more to come.
All right, guys. So that ends a wonderful episode. Thank you guys so much. This was so healing, so knowledgeable. I'm inspired by both of you.
Yes.
Just, you know, and to see someone so young with so much purpose and so clear on it and your boundaries, you know, it's such a big deal. It's, you know, we're saying the word a lot these days, but a lot of people aren't using it. And I'm so happy that these things are in our book and to hear you reference things that we've written about mm-hmm. without even reading it. It's such a, it's so beautiful. It's great. And guys, thank you for joining us. We will see you again on another episode of I Love Me More podcast with Tara and
Dr. Jamila T. Davis. And y'all already know what it is. It's going down.
On the next episode of I Love Me More podcast.
I'm sitting in the cafeteria and I just hear somebody like, Aisha. She was like, I'm Jamila Davis. I'm the one that sent you the book. Literally from that day, we were inseparable.
Let's give it up for Aisha LaHome.
They were listening to our phone calls, seeing us like kind of conspire how we were going to come home and take over the world. And they started hating. I started learning more about trading. And then I just got really, really deep into it. And next thing you know, we doing $1 million a month. We try to get a loan against this fake document. So they froze my bank account. And the feds got involved and went to federal prison.
People of color, especially women, get charged for white collar crimes. So not only do you get punished for the crime, you get punished for daring to be a black woman.
Right.
I was traumatized in prison. You know, I was traumatized, you know. I lost my father, I lost my brother, so it was a lot.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.